Tonight we're going to talk about growing in the prophetic, part two. Before Nick came, we actually talked about how to grow in the prophetic gift. And we've covered a lot of the stuff, right? All can prophesy. We've covered the prophetic gifts, the four different gifts that we went over. We also covered, the steps of growing in the prophetic: application, interpretation, revelation, interpretation, and application. And you guys remember how I talked about God shows us past and present and future, or glimpses at least of past, present, and future. And you can actually walk with him in a way where you know how he's ministering through you. And then, of course, you're dialoguing with the Lord when you're ministering to people. And it is sort of the grid that I see through. It helps me to know how things work so that when I pray for people, that when I'm ministering to somebody, I know what the next step is. Typically, anyways. And so when you walk with the Lord, you know how he works. You know what he does. Now, he does teach you things. So it's not like you get it all in one shot and you know it all. You're always learning about how he works and what he wants to do. And he just desperately loves people. And so the more your eyes and your heart is open to the people around you, the more you're learning about how to pray for, how to pray with, how to engage and share with people from God's heart and mind. And so this issue of prophecy is so powerful because we get to step into a realm that's so supernatural, and yet it's so practical if we learn to engage people properly. And a lot of ministering prophetically, a lot of growing in the prophetic, has a lot to do with our learning to engage people. Like I told you, I think it was a few weeks ago, a lot of Christians are very socially inept. That's why the world doesn't even know that we're Christian most of the time. And if they do know that we're Christian, it's because we're odd or we're revealing what we're against, or we're trying to shove truth down people's throats that don't know Jesus. Therefore, they can't adhere to truth. And so truth before love often can lead to a dead end with most of the world. And prophecy and supernatural ministry has a way of opening somebody's heart. It opens a door so that they can see the living God. They can see how real he is and what he's like, and it makes it personal. And we talked about this earlier in our session. John chapter 10, I think it's verse 3 to 5, somewhere in there, Jesus is revealed as the shepherd. Remember, my sheep, in John 10, 27 says, my sheep know my voice. I know them and they follow me. Jesus is the shepherd, we're the sheep. But if you look at like verse 3 through 5, it actually says, Jesus says, I know my sheep by name. I call them out by name. And so prophecy has a way to reveal that God knows your name. God knows who you are. He knows what you're like. He knows what you need. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows what your past is like. And he knows where he wants you to go. So prophecy has the potential to bring somebody into a living reality of Jesus Christ and the fact that he knows who you are. And it's powerful. It trumps all the other things sometimes we try to do in helping people get the fact that this is what God is like. People need to experience God, not just know his standards. Knowing his standards is something that somebody wants to do when they encounter the living Christ. And so growing in the prophetic is so powerful in that we have an opportunity to reveal Jesus to the world through prophecy. And it's so simple because you just hear his heart. You just hear his mind about somebody else that's standing next to you, somebody else that you're sitting next to. And you just ask the question, God, what are you doing? And there's something about understanding how to receive prophecy. Now, we've had a lot of people come in and prophesy, and some of you have just watched a lot of this happen. And, words are given, right? So somebody will come up and they'll minister prophetically to somebody. You know, this is what the Lord is saying to you. This is what you've gone through. This is who you are. And, you know, yada, 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 right? So they'll give you this sort of prophetic thing. And you get really excited, right? Because they're like, man, God knows my name and God's really real. And you couldn't have known that unless the Lord showed it to you or you prophesied that and that came from the Holy Spirit. And we get really excited about that experience. But a lot of times, the word that's given, we don't take beyond that exciting feeling. Now, we all like to feel good. I mean, I feel great when I go to Cold Stone because the whole experience is, I mean, later on, I don't feel so great. But I feel great going in, and I feel great enjoying, and, you know, the enduring part is hard, but you really, right? So we like to feel good. Right? We're a people that likes to feel good, okay? And so when we have experiences with the Lord, often we don't take the word that's being spoken beyond the moment that it was experienced. And I want to help you tonight a little bit understand how to receive prophetic words. Because if you don't learn how to receive prophetic words, then you'll forget what God is even trying to tell you. And let's back up for a second and say prophetic ministry, first of all, is from the Lord. It's not just from a person, and it's not just meant to show you that somebody knows something about you. Prophetic ministry is meant to reveal that God is here, and God cares about you, and he wants to encourage you, but he also has something for you. And like I said, I've watched person after person after person receive a word and then leave it there and really forget about the details and not pray through it or even, you know, weigh it carefully to see if it is the Lord, right? We can make a lot of mistakes. And so I just have like a real simple process we'll go through real quickly. Like when prophetic words are given, this is one of the things that we need to do when we're receiving words. We need to learn how to receive from the Lord. It's really important. And you'll look on your notes here. The first thing that I have written down is listen carefully. I think that we often get a little too excited when the word, oh my gosh, he picked me, right? So it's like, you have the big sign, pick me. And so you're sitting there and the whole time you're wondering if you're going to get picked, right? Am I going to be the special one tonight? So then you get picked and you're, oh man, this is Ben or Nick or somebody had a word for me and that's really powerful. And so like this word's getting shared and you're still thinking like, I'm special, I'm awesome, I'm wonderful. God, of course, would pick me. He looked into this crowd and said, you are the gem for tonight. You're it, right? So you're excited. And like the words, like I've had people walk up to me and say, man, that was so awesome. That was so powerful. Like, could you tell me again what you said? That's the truth, because they forget exactly what's going on. They just get discombobulated or they get disorganized and when their thoughts and minds of what's going on. And so you have to learn to listen carefully, okay? It's really important that you listen to the actual words that are being shared, okay? And the second thing is you need to write it down. I mean, I think prophetic ministry can be an experience, but I mean, I don't care if it's some high-level person that walks in. I'm writing that thing down. I'm like, I'm sorry, what was that you said? I just want to take a note. Thank you. God bless. You want to take it seriously. And like, how many of you don't remember things unless you write them down? Okay, how many of you are lying, right? Like, how many of you are like, no, I remember everything? Like, for me, if you look at the Bible is a collection of stories or experiences. They're stories of experiences that people had with God that were written down. The Bible wouldn't be here unless the people that experienced God in this unique way wrote it down. We wouldn't even have the scripture. I mean, is that true or not? I mean, things get down to practicality at some point. I've had dreams from the Lord that are like incredible, right? And I don't get dreams all the time, but I've gotten some pretty serious directional dreams. I think I've told you guys the story about having a dream about being on staff at this church. I have it written down. It's in my office. It has a date on it. And I was at another church and I had a dream specifically about sitting in that chair. And I was going to come and be on staff at this church. And I was walking up this aisle to preach one night. I have it written down. I can show it to you. It's really powerful. I've had some pretty incredible dreams that God has tethered to my life so that I would know what he wants me to do and where he wants me to go. I wish he did that more often, because dreams are sort of like cheating, right? You don't have to like seek, or you don't have to like pray. You don't have to like, you sort of like do the thing you do every night. And you just wake up. But if you don't take it seriously and write something down, like when you're getting a prophetic word for somebody, or maybe you're getting a dream from the Lord, if you don't write it down, then that thing's gonna go. And this is what people think sometimes. They go, "Man, if it's from God, if it's a dream from God, I won't forget it." Right. So if you look at the Bible, there are actually points where God tells people, "Write the vision down." I think God just knew what men were like. If you don't write it down, you're going to forget. God just, I mean, he gets it, right? We don't all the time, but he's like, write the vision down, okay? I mean, how many prophets has he told? I want you to write this down. So for us, don't have the mentality that if God speaks to you through somebody or prophetically, that you're just going to remember it, oh, because it's God. No, absolutely not. If you're going to recall this, if you're going to process this, if you're going to weigh this, you need to write it down. And I'm going to tell you why. You need to ask questions. I think let the prophetic word come. Let somebody prophesy, get the dream, whatever it is that God wants to say to you. But ask questions. Man, I ask questions. Because number one, somebody could be wrong. It might not be God. right? They might be sharing, and you might be like, good shot, but that's not the Lord. So we need to weigh prophetic words. They're not always God. But you need to be able to ask questions. And sometimes people ask me questions like, hey, when you said this, what did you mean? And if it's like a week later, I'm like, I have no idea. But thank you for asking. Next time you won't want to ask the same day, because if it's the next day, I mean, by the time I get home with my 6-year-old and 4-year-old jumping on my head, and yeah, I just forget the world, you know, that there is a world anyways. And so you want to make sure to ask questions if necessary. And then the fourth thing is pray over the word. I think this is where you process things. You want to receive a word. Is this, you know, you want to pray over it. You want to weigh it. Is this from God? What does God want me to do? And the fifth thing is consider the process. Is there a step that you need to take? If you believe this is the Lord, do you need to take a step? One of the things that I pray for with people very clearly is, what is the next step? It's awesome to know that God may have called you to something, and it's awesome to know that the Lord has a future for your life. But if you don't have a next step, A to B is a long way to go. And quite frankly, you don't get up the stairs except for taking steps. And sometimes we just need to know, what is the next step that God has me to take in this thing that he's saying I'm supposed to do? Okay, and the last thing is shelf and review. Sometimes, like, I had a word that was given to me about 12 years ago. I had this guy, he picked me up out of a crowd and gave me this prophetic word. I won't go into it. But anyways, he gives me this word. And, you know, I felt special. It was pretty incredible. I was like, I'm so awesome. Of course they would choose me, you know, because I'm all young. And I was like a brand new Christian, and I didn't know anything. I'm just experiencing God. I didn't believe in God. Now I believe in God, so I'm excited, right? So some guy picks me. And I remember it had no bearing on my life at all. I mean, there was no way this guy was right. I mean, it was so lofty and way out there. I mean, right? You understand what I'm saying? Like, all these words are getting shared, and I'm like, you have this, no way. There's no way. So what? Fortunately for me, somebody wrote it down next to me, because I didn't have enough sense to write that thing down. So they wrote it down for me, gave it to me, and I had to just put that thing on the shelf and, like, review it at another time, because for me, it made no sense right here, right now. I did not believe that that was going to be the Lord for me. I mean, I didn't know enough to do this, what I'm telling you, but I didn't have that vision. I didn't have that agreement. I didn't even know the Lord's voice. I didn't even know God spoke very clearly, or at all for that matter. So shelving words and being able to review them, having a journal. I have journals with dreams that God's given me. And because I don't have very many dreams. So when I have a dream that sticks, when I have a dream that I wake up and it's intense, the first thing I do is write it down, because I know there's no way. I have a lot of pizza dreams. I've got a lot of weird dreams. I got a lot of dumb dreams. I got a lot, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I got a lot of dreams of, you know, people with rearranged heads on them and all kinds of stuff, right? So things I don't want on the screen behind me, things I don't want you to know about, things I'm thinking even while I'm preaching. There's things I don't want you to see, and nor you me, right? But the things that stick, the things that resonate with my spirit, the things that I know when I wake up, there's some substance to that. I write those things down, but they don't always mean anything to me, mean something to me right away. So we have to learn how to have these things ready to review at a different time, because our life is in seasons, and we grow and we develop. And Jesus said in John 16 to his disciples, he's walking with his disciples, and he says this to him. He says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I mean, think about what he's trying to communicate. I have something I want to tell you, but if I were to tell you, you wouldn't understand. I mean, that's fairly insulting, actually, if you think about that. If I were to tell you that right now, you'd think me an arrogant man. But we wouldn't think that way of Jesus, because he really does know everything, and they didn't. So that's fine. But Jesus is saying very clearly, like, there's things in your life that I want to reveal to you, and in time I will. But right now, you don't have the capacity, nor do you have the capability of walking out what I would share with you if I shared it with you right now. So I'm going to wait. And then he actually says the Holy Spirit's going to come and reveal to you all things, because the Father has given all things into my hands. So sometimes you'll have a glimpse of what your life's to be about, or you'll have a glimpse of what somebody else's life's to be about. You'll have a sense. You'll have a peace, right? And if you don't know how to review that thing or shelf it for a time, because today's not the day and now's not the time to understand it, if you don't know sometimes that's the way it works, then you'll throw a lot of stuff away that could be for later, that could be an encouragement to you at another time in your life. See, and I have, like, I could show you some of my journals, but that's been a really important part of my life and receiving from the Lord. And so it's just really, really important. And another aspect of growing in the prophetic I want to talk about is testing prophetic words, right? So we know that we need to test and we need to weigh things that are said in church. I don't think I have to tell you that crazy stuff gets set up in church sometimes, especially Pentecostal charismatic churches, which we are one of. But that doesn't mean a Pentecostal church is not a crazy church. All right. Now, there are crazy churches in the world that are called Pentecostal. Okay. But that being Pentecostal doesn't mean wild. It's just some folks think that. It just means we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the ministry and the work of God's Spirit through people. That's what we believe. That's why we are who we are. And so so really just people of Pentecost rather than being a church, an institutional Pentecostal church. It's just about being people of Pentecost, people of the Spirit. But it's important that we know that when things are shared, they need to be weighed and tested. I ask you to write things down because if we don't learn to weigh and test prophetic words, then either we're doing one of two things. We're embracing everything as God, which isn't healthy, or we're not really remembering anything anyways, so as soon as it comes in, it goes out, and we're not taking the words of the Lord that seriously. Those are the two things that are going to happen if we don't learn to test things. Because here's the deal. When you test something, you're trying to approve what is God so that you might be able to extract from it what the Lord is trying to say and then do something with it. If God speaks to you, then you're responsible for what he says. Okay? If you don't hear the voice, you know, sometimes people want real high-level words from God. I just want God to tell me what to do. You know, the more specific word you get, the more responsible you are to that word. I mean, to the Lord, really. The more you hear, the more clearly you hear the Lord, think about it. If God told you everything, like tomorrow do this, and the next day do this, I mean, what are you going to feel like if you didn't? That's why I tell people, if you don't get some real specific stuff, don't feel bad. I mean, the book's got a lot of pretty good stuff in it already that you're not doing a good job at, so don't worry about getting so much specific stuff, okay? Sometimes, I mean, I'm not the first person to line up in the prophecy line. I think I told some of you guys earlier today, it was like, the last thing sometimes I need is another prophetic word to topple on top of the other prophetic words that I have. What I need is the grace to walk out what I already have. I'm having a hard time with that. Sometimes I'm like, I'll go to the back, not because I'm afraid that the guy's going to know my sin, or like he's going to say some prophetic thing that's going to scare me or something, but because I'm like, man, just pray for the power to do what I need to do already. Thank you, Jesus. That's all I'm here for, brother. Thank you. I appreciate your ministry. That's right. We love you. In Jesus' name. That's what we do. So testing prophetic words are really, really powerful. My wife and I were watching this video one time, and it was sort of this video that was exposing like the rock and roll industry and how crazy like some of the bands are and all this stuff. It was like this documentary, right, about rock and roll and music in general, just the agenda that can be behind music because it's part of, people that just, you know, don't know the Lord are writing lyrics and music, whatever. A lot of it's artistic and they're just doing whatever, but there's a lot of bands that are involved in some crazy stuff, you know, that young people listen to and really have no discernment on. And so it's just this, like, documentary, and I don't know who the guy is. I don't know if he's right or wrong or what he's, you know, I just didn't suck it all in. He's right. I was kind of, like, listening to see what was good about this, and we're watching it, and the dude was just, I mean, he was just bashing everybody. He was, and I get, like, right, he's talking about, like, worldly music, and he's saying, like, a lot of this stuff is, like, has a bad, it doesn't have a biblical worldview, right? And, of course, they don't because they're not Christians, so I get that. And he was kind of revealing what kind of worldview they have. Then he goes, and he actually goes into the Christian world of music, and he starts, like, really bashing a lot of that stuff and a lot of who they are and what they do. And as I'm listening to this, I'm going like, man, this dude is like, I don't think he's totally right here. Like some of the stuff he was saying was right, and some of the stuff he was saying, I don't believe it could be right because he was putting motives into question, which I think is just unfair. And you know, God knows the motives of people. If you're a Christian band and you're trying to go for it, yeah, you're making mistakes, whatever. But I mean, seriously, like. We don't have the right to question motives. We have the right to judge behavior, but we do not have the right to judge motives. We do not have the right to judge people. Fair enough, right? The Bible says, do not judge lest you be judged. It means do not condemn people to a label or a box that they can't get out of. We judge behavior. Okay, you lied, but that doesn't make you a liar. You lie. You know, we judge the behavior, what you did. This is what you did, but it doesn't mean it's what you are. Okay, it's a difference. And so this guy's just going off on these bands, and at the end, here's kind of what he says, right? And he's this big church, and he's ministering to these people. He's talking this stuff. At the end, this is what he says. He goes, you know, the Lord woke me up. You should have seen me in my living room because I was just going crazy. Wife's like, just calm down. You'll be okay. Just calm down. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Just have some more of that Cold Stone. You'll be all right. Just finish it. You'll be fine. So anyways, you know my wife's not like that. That's why you're laughing. He said, his wife's not like that. She's like, chuck, chuck. So anyways, we were watching, and the dude was like, I woke up in the morning at like 4 a.m. The Lord woke me up at 4 a.m. in the morning, and it just gets silent. And he gets real intense, right? He's got that prophetic look in him, right? Something's coming. Lord woke me up at 4 a.m. in the morning, and he told me this, that if we weren't willing to give up all of our music and all this stuff that we're talking about tonight, that he was going to take his spirit from us. And I thought, man, you are off your rocker, dude. Like, this is some of the worst theology I've ever heard in my life. Like, this one. So he says, the Lord told me to tell you that if we didn't get these idols of music out of our house, that God was going to take his Holy Spirit from us. And I look over at my wife and I go, if that guy did that on our pulpit, it would be a bad day for him. Bad day. Because the first thing I do is go, whoop. Thank you, brother. We really appreciate your courage of sharing what you feel like was God, but here's what we're going to explain to you. That's not possible because the Bible actually says very clearly that when you're born again of the Holy Spirit, you're regenerated. You always have the Holy Spirit. You are now born of God. God's Holy Spirit does not leave you because you don't do some obedient point. I mean, we need to obey the Lord, but if you disobey, you probably have done that in the last few days, haven't you, brother? You know what I'm saying? So if you haven't done something that you were supposed to do, God's Spirit is not going to leave you, okay? That was the principle in the Old Testament. Remember when David in the Old Testament prayed? He said, God, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Cleanse me. Give me a clean heart. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Remember we talked about, remember in the first session that I did, you all may prophesy, and I talked to you about the power of the new covenant was that God's Spirit would indwell all people, male, female, bondservants, I mean, young, old. The Holy Spirit would indwell all people, not just kings, not just priests, not just prophets. That was the power of the new covenant, that all could prophesy, all could hear God and speak from God's heart and mind. And so we can't pray prayers anymore like, God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me, because David was scared that God was going to take his Holy Spirit from him because he had sinned through adultery and then causing the woman's wife to be murdered. So he was afraid as a king that he was going to lose his kingship and he was going to lose the Holy Spirit. So this guy that was on this video that me and my wife were listening to, we're just going like, buddy, you need to read the New Testament because it's really good, man, and you're missing out, right? So here's what's happening. He's prophesying something that he believes God is saying. The scary part is God wasn't saying that. He was saying that, but God wasn't saying that. The scary part is that he's prophesying something that is completely theologically untrue. Okay? And you know what happened? They had a massive altar call, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people came up front. Now, genuinely, I think people can have terrible words that aren't from God, and people really still experience God because God is the shepherd. God is the pastor. God is God. We're just vessels, imperfect as we are. This guy totally blew it, totally messed up, has some really bad theology, and people responded to that word, and I believe God touched them, but here's my point. That word needed to be tested, and a pastor needed to stand up and say, that was not from God. And sometimes deception creeps into the church and people get hurt because people are unwilling. We don't have a culture where correction is normal. It's so punitive, it's so punishing, it's so harsh and it's so abrasive that it's wounding. And what it should be is we should be able to have a culture where, you know, if you're going to prophesy, it's going to get judged. It's going to get weighed. Not because we want to go, oh, you were right or you were wrong, but because we're looking for God to speak. That's all we want. We want God. We want his word, and we want the purity of the Holy Spirit's voice. And if that's what we're looking for, then we have to be able to discern through one another in what we're saying and what God is saying, not in some nitpicky, critical way, but in a way where we're locating God. And the rest of it's like, poof, out the door. And it's not weird. Like, there's people that devote their lives and their ministries to just finding what God is not doing. I mean, think about how horrible that is. In my opinion, what you focus on is what you become. If your ministry is focusing on just finding the faults of other people, you become a fault finder. And by the way, that's the nature of the enemy. And I think that we need to learn how to discern without becoming fault finders. And that's a proper way to be. And you know what? In family, when as a father, I can just tell you, and some of you are parents, as a father, I don't want to be overcorrective to my kids. That's actually counterproductive. I want correction to be normal. I want it to be encouraging at the same time. And I want them to learn that we're growing. See, when I talk to you about this whole session is about growing in the prophetic, correction, testing, weighing is part of growing. We have to learn that that's part of the vision of growing. We need correction as much as we need encouragement. But correction can be encouragement if we do it in the right way. Make sense to you? Okay. So anyways, we need to learn to do that. Here's 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verse 19. We'll read it. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good. Now, I've read this verse to you many times. We know that this particular church had prophets coming into the church saying that Jesus had returned. So Paul had to write them a letter saying Jesus has not returned. These prophets are off their rocker. I want you to know this. And so now, because of the abuses of prophecy and spiritual gifts, they're like, we don't want anything to do with prophecy anymore. So if any prophet comes, and that's the easiest way to deal with spiritual gifts, right? The easiest way to deal with spiritual gifts and prophecy is to say, it's all gone. So if anybody comes through saying they have a word, well, then we don't believe in words, that God gives words. We only believe in the scripture, and we don't believe the Holy Spirit speaks through people. So because we don't believe that, anybody that comes in to say anything is wrong and off. And that's actually the easiest way to deal with it. Just kick it all out of the church, right? But that's not what we're called to. We're called to minister to one another in the power of the Spirit. And so we need to do that. And that's why Paul is saying to them, hey, don't quench the spirit. The word quench actually is similar. The best illustration I have is when you're washing your car and you have your hose and you crimp the hose and the water doesn't flow. That's like the word quench is like the word crimp. So in other words, the flow of the spirit is meant to flow constantly, consistently. And when you quench the Holy Spirit, there's potential of his flow. He wants to be able to move, but we're actually restricting his ability to do so by the way that we're responding, by the way that we're receiving. That makes sense? And he's telling them, don't quench the Spirit. And by doing that, do not despise prophetic utterances. But listen, I'm not saying suck up everything like it's God. I'm saying examine things carefully so that you can extract the nutrients, like what's meant to be a benefit to you. I want you to have that, but you, in order to get the benefit, the nutrients of that word, you actually have to learn to examine and weigh it. You need to learn to weigh it, okay? So that's really, really important. And 1 Corinthians 14:29 sort of says the same thing. Paul's talking to a different church that's actually on the other end of the spectrum. They're really happy about spiritual gifts, and they're just cutting loose with prophecies all over the place. You know, you're going to eat Cheerios this morning. It's going to be really powerful. Okay, Cheerios are just going to be part of your normal diet, says the Lord. They're just having fun, right? They're just swinging from chandeliers having a party. Now, I don't think that's all, you know, I mean, every church is different, to each their own. I don't swing from chandeliers, but you know what? I'd probably have a good time watching somebody else do it. So I don't judge, you understand? I judge what's being done and what's being said, but, you know, people want to have a party, go for it. You laughed, at least that's what that accomplished anyways. But in 1 Corinthians 14:29 says, as two or three prophets should speak and the others should weigh carefully what is said. Now here's the deal, right? So why would he say you should weigh or you should judge what's being said if it could never be wrong? Okay. The idea I'm trying to create here is that words can be wrong. Words can be from people. Words can be actually from demonic sources. The whole idea of discernment, the gift of discernment, was given so that we would know the source of something when it was being shared. When they had the gift of discernment in the New Testament church, a lot of times, because they didn't have written scripture, they needed that the discerning of spirits. I mean, we need it today, don't get me wrong, but they needed it really, they really needed it serious in a serious way. They didn't have a lot of the writings that we have, not in the access that we have them. They had some, but they didn't have all of them. So what they needed to do is have the gift of discerning of spirits functioning so they would know the source of that word. It was really important, but words can be from a different source that's not from God, and we do need a way. Now, I have some points here I want to share with you about how to test or weigh prophetic words, okay? So the first one is the prophetic must harmonize with Scripture, and this doesn't mean that there needs to be a Bible verse attached to every word that's given. I think it's good for us to be able to know in the scripture where the word that we're sharing with somebody makes sense, and we can actually give them a Bible verse. Hey, like in Timothy, or like when David did this, right? So you give a prophetic word, and then you can attach it to scripture. I don't think you have to, but I think you can. And that's actually a powerful way of helping people remember the word that's being given. But it doesn't mean that that's what needs to happen. I'm just saying it must harmonize. It can't contradict scripture. We get into dangerous waters when we start contradicting what the Bible teaches. Hey, the Lord's telling you to do this, and it's the Bible says the opposite. That's crazy, and we need to. That's why we need to know this word. Okay, we need to know this word. You guys know that. But it's really important that prophetic words harmonize with the Bible. They just have to. You know, that's part of our heritage, being people of the Scripture, being people of the Spirit. We're both. Okay, and the both work together. It doesn't mean that there's always a verse. It just means that it harmonizes, and it does not contradict. Second one is prophetic should bear witness with us. Sometimes people think that God always speaks to us first, and a prophetic word is a confirmation of what he's already telling us. That's not actually true. A prophetic word is this. A prophetic word can be a confirmation of what God has already told you, so it will bear witness with you in the sense that you already knew that, and it was just a confirmation. Man, I was feeling that. God was speaking to me about that. That's really awesome. Like yesterday, I had a phone call, and during the week, I was praying for a particular person that I hadn't thought about for months, and I hadn't seen them. And they're not like a friend of mine, so I don't know them very well, or they're not in relationship with me. But they're a person that I know of, and you know, being a pastor, you get to know a lot of people at a distant level. And so the Lord had just brought them up to my mind, and I didn't know if it was the Lord or not, but I just was trying to faithfully pray for them. And then I got a phone call as I was pondering this person throughout the week. I got a phone call from a friend, an actual friend, who said, you really need to dial into this person. And then they gave me a few things that were appropriate enough for them to tell me why I needed to really respond to this person. And so in that particular instance, you know, there's a confirmation. Okay, there's a, you know, the Lord speaking to me. There's a confirmation, that kind of a thing. You know, sometimes you'll be in a meeting and somebody will give you a prophetic word, and God's been speaking to you that week about that same thing, right? And so you're like, oh, that's awesome. I was just thinking about that, right? So it's a confirmation. I know this is the Lord. Thank you, Lord. But that's not only the only realm in which God speaks prophetically. Sometimes prophetic words come that cause you to pray about something that you did not know was in your future or available to you. And I've had that happen to me on several occasions. So if you judge a word only by what God has said to you already, I'm telling you, there's actually another realm in which you need to discern from. And that is this a potential thing that God is showing me because prophetically somebody else picked up on something that the Lord hadn't talked to me about yet, and it opened me up to the possibility. Sometimes we're closed-minded to things, right? Sometimes we don't see because we're emotionally connected to something in a way where we can't see properly. Sometimes that's the way it works. And God will actually cause another person to see beyond our restriction, and it will open that restriction up so that we can see down that path that we previously couldn't see. But I'm saying we need to prayerfully consider it. Does this make sense? Have any of you actually had this happen where something you totally did not consider? I was in Mexico, and I was praying for person after person after person. They're bringing their kids up, you know, pray for my kids too. And I'm barely standing up. Okay. And we're outside and it's cold and I've had more carne asada than I care to admit. You know, that whole kind of deal, right? And so there's a barbecue. And so I'm praying and they're bringing their kids up, you know, and I can't even see faces. It's dark out. By this time, you can't even, it's so dark, you don't even know if you're Mexican anymore. I mean, we don't know. I don't know who's who or what's happening, all right? So it's just, it's late, and I prayed for too many people, and my feet are frozen numb. And do you guys remember who was there? You were there. Yeah, remember, like, my feet were just frozen, and so we're praying for people. It was really powerful. And this one girl comes up, and so I start, you know, she's double-dipping because my friends had already prayed for her. But she's like, oh, I want Ben to pray for me too, you know, because there might be a little something extra in there, right? A little something I missed. So she comes into my line, and or it wasn't really a line, but she comes over to me. So I start praying for her, and I give her this word about, and I saw her actually moving to different parts of Mexico. This in a vision, the Lord opened a vision up to me, and I saw her moving to different parts of Mexico, like east, west, this whole thing. And then I said, and I had a vision of her working with children, and the vision was so specific. I actually saw what she was doing, like, you're not just working with children. It wasn't one of those kind of words, but it was like, I see you actually creating games in some, I don't know if it's an orphanage setting or if it's like some kind of thing, but like I see that you're in the street, and there's this park there, and like you've created these crazy fun games for the kids. And she looked, I mean, I could barely see her face, but she looked so discouraged. It was like I hit her with a brick or something. It was amazing. So she says, thank you. Thank you very much for that prophetic word. And so can I ask you a question? And she had some English, some broken English, but I said, sure, you can, absolutely. She goes, okay, so I don't want to work with kids, and like that is not something that I want to do at all, and I have never heard anything like that ever before. And I went, oh, perfect. So this is one of those examples where God might be showing you something that you have not. And so she had that understanding that I don't know anything about what you're saying. And here's what I said. I just, you know, and I'm not saying like I'm, what I said was the Lord. I'm just saying this, I had a vision, and I just explained to you the vision. So I encourage her, you need to pray about this, okay? You have a Bible, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and he's going to bear witness to the truth of what he wants you to do. So you can take this word and you can pray about it and see if it's God. And if the Lord confirms and bears witness with this word, not if he's borne witness to the word today, but there might be something for you in the future. And she goes, oh, okay. But she was discouraged because she thought she was just going to have to take it, own it, and that was the word of God for her. And I just said, you just need to pray about this. See? And she was super discouraged. And I doubt that she's going to pray about that, just by the way she communicated with me. But the Lord, if it was the Lord has a way of, right, bringing us back to the thing that we once didn't feel called to. Isn't that something? But the word needs to bear witness with us. And it, even if it doesn't today, it can. And that's why praying and discerning words is so important. Okay, it's really important. Discern the source. I mean, I really think we just need to ask the Lord things like, Lord, was this from you? I really just want to make that really practical. You know, people watch these people on television that like read your past and talk to the dead and that kind of stuff. And I mean, the demonic network has information, all right? The demons know what was. They don't know what is to come. Okay, the devil, the demonic network, they know information, they don't have revelation. Revelation is that which is to come. God only knows the future. The devil does not know the future. So yeah, there are people that are, we call them prognosticators. I don't know, if we were being vicious, demon workers. I don't know what you call people, but like people function by another spirit. It just because they seemingly have revelation and they're psychics or whatever. I mean, some of this stuff is supernatural. Absolutely. I've actually watched some of it before where I've seen people. Me and my wife were on the island. We were on Maui, and we walked right into a fair, and we're on our honeymoon, so, you know, it was powerful. But anyways, so we're in Maui. Why are you laughing? So we were in Maui, and it was a great experience. And so we walked into this, like, mini mall, this mall that, you know, if you're not from Maui, it probably costs you $100 to get into. Everything's $100 for some reason when you look like you're not from there. Not bitter, but it's true. How much does that cost? $100? How much does it cost to rent the DVD? $100? Yeah, that's what I thought. This head of lettuce is $100, isn't it? Hawaii is really powerful. So we go into this fair. Is it true, right? You ever been to Hawaii? Yeah, it's just, yeah, the whole parasailing and all this weird stuff. You go on these trips, it's $100, and then you just sit around and people are getting tanked. Let's give them all Mai Tais and drive them out to like some remote thing and tell them it's a really old island. It's awesome. And I'm just sitting there like steaming, like, Lord, just help me not lose it. So, we walk into this spiritual fair, and people are dressed funny and the whole deal, and it was like a New Age psychic fair, okay? And so we're walking by, and I walk right by the psychic's booth, and, like, their radars go off, like, and my radars go off. I mean, I got, like, hair on the back of my neck standing up. I shouldn't even have hair there, but it is, and it's standing up, right? Not on my back. I don't have any there, but you know, it's standing. And so, like, I'm just alert that something spiritual is going on, and I had no clue we were in the middle of, like, a psychic fair. I have no clue at all, but I have this weird discernment thing, and if you know me, you know, like, I didn't ask God for it. It's the weirdest thing on the planet, But I get this weird stuff that just goes off in me. When I'm sitting with somebody that's involved in witchcraft, it just goes off. When I'm sitting with people that are involved in New Age or something like that, or people that are flirting with that stuff, I just have this thing that just goes off. When I'm sitting in a service and I know somebody in there is, I could tell you stories. This is not story night, but I have this weird thing that I would never ask for, and I don't want anybody else to really have. It's not powerful in that way. It's weird, right? But it goes off. And so we're in this fair, and I'm like, whoa, this is something. I'm really sensitive to it, really sensitive to it. And I'm like, man, what's going on in here? And so then we start reading the signs, and we see the crystals and all the stuff that people are doing. And, oh, man, we just walked right into a psychic fair. And so I'm like, cool, that's just awesome. Let's just talk to people. So we go next to the psychics, and I was going to wait for them in the booth so that we could, get the readout stuff. And then I could say, well, by the way, I have a gift too, and start doing the whole thing. Like, not that I wasn't interested in what they had to offer, but I mean, I'm not, greater is he who's in you than he's in the world. I'm not as scared of these people. So they're just drawing from another source is what they're doing. It's not the Lord. So I was just ready to go for it, but we waited in line for a while. But the lady's just like, the big kahuna lady of the island, I don't know what they called her, but she just stared at me the whole time. Like, she's just everywhere I'm going, she's staring. I'm kind of like, seriously, it was wild. Even my wife was like, man, is that lady staring at you or what? I'm like, I don't know. So, but we didn't get to like interact very much. So we went on. But I mean, we need to be able to discern the source of stuff. And there is people out there that are functioning by information. And the demonic network knows the past, right? So, I mean, I've ministered to demonize people. And the demon will speak out of the people history, past stuff. They know stuff that has gone on. But they don't know the future. They condemn you to your past. That's the whole idea. And even if you're not demonized, you have an assault against your life. We have assaults, attacks against our life that are causing us to live for and in our past. And God wants to redeem our past and set us free into our future. And that's what the prophetic does. It sets us free into our future, right? So we need to learn to discern the source. Because sometimes, I mean, I've been in meetings where people are not speaking for the Lord, right? They're not. And so we need to learn how to discern that. And that's really just asking God, what's the source of this? Lord, is this you? Just that's the first place of discernment. And the last one is share the prophetic with trusted friends. I mean, I've had people get really jazzed up about a prophetic word they've gotten, and then they sit down and they share it. Everything in me is saying, this is not what I'm saying, right? And so then, so you share that with friends who you can voice that off of. And it just opens up the door for you. Again, we're trying to discern and weigh what's God so that we can obey, right? Because if we know it's God, we've become aware, and awareness gives us a level of responsibility, and then we need to follow, right? So that's the whole key. Jesus said, if you love me, obey what I command. He wants us to follow. He wants us to obey. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. My sheep that hear my voice, the idea of hearing his voice without following him is not something that he's saying. You have to read that whole thing, right? John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. So hearing is important, but obeying is even more important, because if you hear only and you don't follow, you're going to be a sheep on your own, and the wolf comes and plucks you off. So that's not a good idea. Anyways, that's sort of the couple principles of testing and weighing prophetic words. That's really important when we're learning to grow in the prophetic and receive prophetic words. It's really important because we had a lot of prophetic words given and last week, and Nick was so gracious and very humble. He's saying, hey, you need to pray about this. I mean, I love that, because some people share when they're up there ministering to people, they just act like this is the Lord and that's the way that it is. And some people have that maturity where they walk in that realm of prophetic insight that's just a whole lot more mature, right? So if you've been doing it for 30, 40 years, you're on a different level. And it takes 30, 40 years to do that. But you can fall off of that and out of that real quickly because you're not connected and close to the Lord. Remember, this morning we talked about everything comes out of intimacy with God, everything. I mean, prophecy comes out of intimacy with God. Passion comes out of intimacy with God. I mean, comes out of a deeper life with God, a prayer life. I mean, just knowing him and cultivating your foundation in the Lord Jesus actually is what causes this stuff to come out of your life, okay, more fluidly, more consistently. And the last thing I want to talk about tonight is actually making mistakes. Remember I told you we would talk about that, right? Because there's a lot of mistakes. Some people actually have a hard time with making mistakes. That's why they don't prophesy, or that's why they don't They have a hard time with words because they've seen, well, it's either 100% right or it's not. There's that mentality. Okay, you've been around that. So I have too. I've encountered it quite a lot. And I want you to know that one of the reasons why we don't have spiritual gifts functioning at a mature level is because we're not willing to allow growth. If we're not willing to allow mistakes, then we're not going to ever have maturity. We will never have maturity without mistakes. You can't have maturity without the hiccups, without the growth spurts, without the wrong stuff, without the correction. You won't have it. And so that's what we want to grow to. But so the question is, can you really speak for the Lord and make a mistake? And the answer is absolutely, right? But why is it that we don't think people can make mistakes in the prophetic? One of the reasons is a fear. We have fear of like perfectionism or fear of failure. This perfectionistic thing. I don't want to speak prophetically because I don't want to be wrong. Okay. But do you see how that actually hinders you from growing? If you don't ever want to be wrong, then you'll never learn. Because if you're not wrong, I mean, you're expecting everything to be perfect. You will not have Christianity be perfect. You are growing. You have to embrace a vision of development, period, or you won't grow. And you're going to make some mistakes. And who in the world wants to misrepresent God, right? Nobody. Who wants to speak on behalf of that? Like, I have something from the Lord. Who wants to do that and be wrong? No, nobody wants to really do that, but who wants to grow so much that they'll make a mistake, own it, and become humble and say, you know, I missed that to some degree, and I'm willing to own that because I want to grow. That's how you grow, right? So grace is given to the humble. And that's why, you know, one of the things I like to do is just say, you know, you should pray. I want you to pray about this. This is something that I sense from the Lord, but I want you to pray about it. When you do that, you leave it with people. And the responsibility is on them. But if you say, the Lord says, you don't say that stuff, because unless you're a very mature prophet and you know that you know that you know, you can't talk like that. I mean, you just can't talk like that. So we just, hey, I have a sense that this could be from the Lord. See, we're humble about how we share things. And if you don't do that, man, you're going to get into trouble, especially when you're starting out in this stuff. It's just crazy. So fear is an issue. Fear of what people will think and how we're going to look, and you just need to let that stuff go. Fear is no good. It's not from God, and it really hurts us. And the other thing is that one of the reasons why we have a hard time with mistakes, or we believe that unless, you know, prophecy has to be 100% from God, we forget that God's actually using human vessels. But we have been taught that you can't make mistakes, right? So when I became a Christian, I was in a local Baptist church, which was, I mean, they're a great church, but they don't believe in any of the gifts of the Spirit. For a year, I was in this church, and they don't believe that the gifts of the Spirit are for today. So they already don't buy into it. And they taught me, and I was, you know, 20 years old at the time, 19, 20 years old, they taught me that that prophets in the Old Testament had to be 100% accurate 100% of the time, or basically God would kill them. That's what they taught me, and they taught me that was biblical. So have you heard this before? Have you ever heard this? Okay, so it's really awesome. I'm actually bringing it up, and you never heard it before, so it's probably not a good thing. But anyhow, this is what they told me in this wonderful place. And in Deuteronomy 18:14, this is kind of what they said. So I'll just read it to you. For those nations which you shall dispossess, listen to those who practice. Do not listen. For those nations which you shall dispossess, who listen to those who practice witchcraft and to diviners. But as for you. You know, he's talking about people that are listening to people that are practicing witchcraft and people that are functioning from demonic spirits. He's saying, when you go into those nations, for you, you're not allowed to do that. I don't want you to listen to people that are speaking from demonic spirits, okay? The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. Now, let me ask you a question. Who's a prophet like Moses? Who's he talking about? You don't know. Okay, that's a trick question. Not really. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen, so he's going to be a Jew, and you shall listen to him. This is according to all that you asked the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, let me see this great fire anymore, I will die. The Lord said to me, they have spoken well, I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I commanded him. It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. So there's a responsibility to hearing this one that he's raising up. But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, so if another prophet comes in that presumes to be this prophet, if he speaks presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. Okay, that's pretty serious. I don't want to be that guy that dies. You may say in your heart, how will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. I mean, that's pretty legit. How do you know if it's not God? Well, if the prophet says this is going to happen and it doesn't, then it's not God. I like that. That's pretty good tester. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you shall not be afraid of him. Okay? Now, here's the thing. This passage, people have used this passage to say when people are prophesying and they miss it, right, that it's not God, and so that mistake obviously has caused them to need to be fearful of what God will do as a result of that. Now, that's Old Covenant, and so people still teach this kind of crazy stuff, that like God doesn't prophesy through people. He only speaks through his word because he required it of his prophets, those that were considered prophets, to speak 100% accurately from God's mouth all the time. And they use this passage. And if they didn't, they would die. That's what I was taught, right? That's first year of Christianity. That's what I was taught. But when you actually look at this, this is crazy, but if you look at this passage, you'll see that the Lord, through Moses, is talking about him raising up a prophet like Moses. Moses was the theocratic ruler of the nation of Israel. That means he was the guy. There is only one other theocratic ruler that we know of that has come since Moses, and his name is Jesus Christ. So when he says, I'm going to raise up a prophet from among your people like you, he's talking about the coming of the Messiah. So he's saying if anybody else comes, presumptuously speaks forth these kind of things and acts as though he's a messianic ruler and he's not 100% accurate, that you know that this is not the prophet that I've sent. He's not talking about people prophesying and making a mistake. You following where I'm going with this? He's not talking about people making a mistake, not claiming to be God. Okay, he's saying that people who are prophesying and they're claiming to be the Messiah, They're not him, but we'll know because the presumption will be there as a result of them prophesying things that have not come to pass. Jesus is the one that he's speaking about. It's crazy that, and actually in Acts 3:22, it refers to this verse about Jesus himself. So the scripture interprets the scripture. We know that. But that's really important for us to know. There's no examples of God putting anybody to death for not prophesying something accurately. So that's pretty safe. Just because you know. Now, let me ask you a question. Has there been any time in the Bible where prophets or people that were speaking prophetically have missed it? Are there any instances in the Bible where somebody prophesied and did not accurately represent God? And I mean a prophet of the Lord, not somebody else. There are, okay? And I have two of them on there. The first one is Nathan. And so we have a prophet, right? So David is the king. Nathan is his prophet. And Nathan is, that's his job description, by the way. Okay, that's his job. Like, my job is an associate pastor at this church. His job was David's prophet. So, I mean, I don't know what that paid or anything, but it's probably a pretty cool job. But it's a pretty serious job, too, because, you know, you're 100% right all the time in the Old Testament. So 2 Samuel chapter 7 says this, "Now it came about when the king lived in the house and the Lord had given him rest on every side from all his enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet," now listen to this, "see now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within tents of curtains." He's saying, I have a nicer house than the presence of God. "Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in your mind, for the Lord your God is with you." So David's telling his prophet, his main man, I want to build a house for God, okay? Now, he's not telling his prophet because they're buddies and they hang around and drink wine from grapes every Friday night. He's telling him because he's a prophet, and he knows that if the prophet gives him the okay, that it's from the Lord, and the Lord is saying, you can go ahead and do this. So the prophet man says to David, man, God is with you. Go do all that is in your heart. Okay, if you're a prophet and you say that to somebody, it is a thus saith the Lord. Okay, that's the representation that you're giving off. People have said, well, Ben, it doesn't say thus saith the Lord. Listen, he's a prophet, okay? It's a sense of identity in the Old Testament, okay? He says, go do it, for the Lord is with you. All right? Now, so David's like excited. Okay, well, God is with me. This is powerful. But in the same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, go and say to my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one who shall build me a house to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the day I brought you up out of the sons of Israel from Egypt, even to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent. And then if you go on and read the story, he turns Nathan around in the same night, says, go back to David and tell him he's not going to build me a house. And Nathan just tells him that God says you can build a house. And then he has to go back and tell him, no, God's not okay with you building a house. I think that's a pretty big mistake. I bet you that night he was up late figuring out the gold, right? You know, where are we going to get it from? Who are we going to extract the gold from? Whose house are we going after? It's going to be awesome. Taxes. That's right. That's what I wouldn't be thinking that. Not unless I was from America. Yeah, so anyways, you have one person that, you know, biffed it pretty hard. Okay, number two, you have Jonah. Okay, here's a prophet. We know Jonah runs from God. Okay, have you run from God before? Don't do that. Stop it, right? There's a message in there for you. So here's Jonah. God calls Jonah to go to preach a message to this city that needs repentance. And Jonah goes the other way, right? So he tries to get away from God, which is really a dumb thing to do because, right, like there's nowhere you can go where he's not. So he didn't think that one through. But anyways, he tried. So then you know the story, like he gets thrown over the boat because the storm comes and then a big whale swallows him up. I actually happen to believe that a whale swallowed a man because it's in the book that I like. It's in there, right? So the whale swallows him, spits him up on the shore. That's kind of a weird experience. I would love to see that or at least have the video footage of it. So that's sort of what happens, right? And here's kind of what goes on in Jonah chapter 3, okay? Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. He gives him a 5-word sermon to go preach to the city. That would be a good ministry night, just 5 words. That's all you got to do. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days walk, and then Jonah began to go through the city, 1 day's walk, and he cried out, said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Okay, so a prophet goes through, let's say he goes through Linwood, and he says, in 40 days, Linwood's going to be toasty. Everybody's going to die. This whole thing's going to be set on fire, and that's the way it's going to go down. Now, if you read Jonah chapter 4, Jonah goes out to the desert a little ways, and God gives him this plant with shade, and he sits down, and he's waiting for the fire to burn up the city because he's really excited about that. He really does hate these people. And he's really scared that God's going to show compassion on them for repenting, right? You know the story in Jonah chapter 4. It's really wild. You know the reason that Jonah didn't want to go preach to these people? Do you guys remember the story? He didn't want to go preach to them because he knew God was going to show love and kindness and mercy on people. This guy is like the wrong guy to choose, right? But God's like, oh, you're a good fit, right? Angry prophet, nothing better than you. So that's the whole deal, right? So he goes outside the city and he's warming up and he's just, oh, I just can't wait to see this thing burn up on fire. And you know, it doesn't happen because the king and the whole city repents. The king issues an edict in the city and he says, we're all going to repent. So they all repent to God. And God doesn't destroy. But listen, the word that the prophet gave was in 40 days. Was it 40 days? You're going to be overthrown. That's what's going to happen. And it doesn't happen because they repented. But that's not in the sermon, okay? That this is an oath from God. This is what will happen in 40 days, and it did not happen. Now here's the deal. You could prophesy to somebody, here's what is going to happen, but if you fail to know the second part of what God wants to tell somebody, well, guess what? You could be wrong. Maybe the first part of it was right, but God's working with people. The prophetic word is not always an oath. Does this make sense to you? When God speaks to you through somebody else, it's not always a fact. It's not always an oath. There is issue, repentance. There is things that are involved. God is working with people. So we can make mistakes because we don't have God's heart. You know, we don't understand that this word was given to evoke a response of love for God. It wasn't meant so that God would overthrow people and cause them to be toasty. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, he wanted people to repent because he loves people. Like, and Jonah didn't get that because, you know why? Because Jonah didn't love people. Jonah wanted them to die, and that's crazy. And that's what's even crazier is God chose to use the guy that hated people. So you're really, you have a hard time thinking God will use you. I don't know. You should probably think again. Doing probably better than that. So, and so there are mistakes, right? And these aren't the only ones. These are just the ones that I'm bringing up, okay? So you can, okay, these are hard, listen, these are hardcore mistakes. So if you prophesy to somebody and you biff it like a little bit or you just get it wrong, like, no big deal. You know what I'm saying? Like, just move on and do it again. I mean, just, we're trying to help people. That's what we're trying to do, see? We're seeking to help people. And the last one is we have wrong mindsets. Sometimes we think things that are just totally wrong. Like we have a wrong mindset like Jonah did. Jonah, he didn't love people. And so his mind about what God would do was he was hoping that God would be like him. See, because if God's like me, then God will be angry because I'm angry. And if God's like me, then he's not going to love this city and let them repent because I just want them to burn. See, if you have a wrong mindset, your words to people are going to misrepresent the Lord. But here's the deal. You're going to make some mistakes, and we want to err on the side of grace as we grow in representing God and speaking the words that he gives us to share with people. You're going to make mistakes. They made mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. And if you have a problem with making mistakes, here's what I encourage you to do. Get over it. Man, that was powerful. I should repeat that, shouldn't I? I say that in the most loving way, though. Because you can't grow without mistakes. You just can't. So if you have a perfectionism thing on you, I don't know how you got it. But it's kind of like just imagine the plane, the cargo plane flying overhead, right? Cargo that doesn't need to have, just let the cargo just come out of your ship and just keep going, right? It's like, get the cargo off the ship. We're heavier than we're supposed to be. Yeah, just let it go and just keep flying. Just get rid of the perfectionism thing. And let me follow it up in saying this. If you do have perfectionism and you're younger, okay, or you're going to have children, you have children or you're going to have children, get rid of it soon. And I mean that, like with all my heart. I mean, get rid of it. Because if you try to parent with a perfectionistic spirit on you, you're going to hurt your kids. Okay? Because if you look at your life and you don't feel like you measure up and you feel like, you know, you can't walk in what God has for you, what are you going to do to your kids? That's going to affect your family. And so seriously, this goes way beyond prophecy and ministering and the gifts of the Spirit. This goes into like being the kind of Christian, the kind of person that you really want to be. Get rid of the perfectionism thing. Ask God to deliver you from it today. Believe me, it just become vulnerable and humble with that perfectionism thing, and God will help you, okay? Really help you. Where you go, I go.